The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house once again on a Thursday morning. How you doing, Kelly?
Good, man. So just one more time. It's 7-Up by Dr. Pepper, bottled by Pepsi-Cola.
Okay? Yeah, we're having a soda discussion back here, how Coke and Pepsi break down. And Dr. Pepper's its own thing, we've discovered this morning.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation.
We're trying to figure out where Starry came from, okay?
Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion for a VSiN Plus. It's the marketing campaign of Starry. On the show today, unscripted with the crack man, but remotely, wherever he is on the East Coast, not sure. He was moving up the East Coast last I checked, so moving northward. We'll find out where he is. Paul Spohr on baseball. We haven't heard from Paulie this week, so we get a chance to talk to him on the sport of baseball. Zach Cohen joins us for the second time this week. Talk both NBA and tennis. Dan Weston in the house to talk tennis. Jake Hahn on the Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tonight as the Florida Panthers try to get off the proverbial schneid, down 2-0 against the Vegas Golden Knights. Jake's thoughts on that. His thoughts on the Conn Smythe Trophy. Maybe even his thoughts on who's got the value going into next year. Can you think of an exercise that is more rando than that, Kelly? Who's got the value in the futures market and in the Stanley Cup market? Ben Wilson also to talk college baseball with us as the Super Regionals happen starting tomorrow and Saturday. Down to 16 teams. We'll get his thoughts on Super Regional series, maybe individual games as well. But you can actually bet the best of threes. That's what the Super Regionals are. So, Kelly, follow. Regionals is double elimination. Super Regionals, best of three. And then the College World Series is a combo of both with a fakakta bracket.
Yes, the easiest to understand bracket you will ever see.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's PhD required. We'll do all that. The only tennis picks I have are currently in play, and they're both in the same match. I have Karolina Mukova, to be honest with you, plus 4.5 games, and then over 20.5 games against Arina Sabalenka in the first of the two women's semis at Roland Garros. Mukova had a set point in the first set, staved off. There, I get to use staved off by Sabalenka. So it is on serve 6-5 now in the first set as so far so good on our two bets. But we'll get thoughts from Ben, Zach, and Dan a little later on what they got moving forward.
Would you like some breaking news to start the show?
Let's do it.
Vikings releasing Dalvin Cook finally.
There it is. Not surprising. Not really.
Yeah, we've been hearing about this for a couple months now.
Yeah. Would you pick up Dalvin Cook? Would you race to pick up Dalvin Cook?
I mean, I think if you're a contender with a running back need, man, I think it could be a great fit for any of those teams. I mean, if you're the Bills, a lot of teams out there, I think he could be a great fit for.
Is there a more discarded position in professional team sports at this point? Where they're just like, yeah, thanks for the memories. You've been great. See you later.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
And when I grew up, it was the thing to be. But the game has changed in a way that has diminished the value of said position.
I mean, and I'm not going to say, the Vikings obviously had good runs over these past few years, but how many times have they have a good passing game, but how many times have you just thought, just turn around and hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook? Like, he's one of the best backs in the league. Come on.
I can also remember betting on the Vikings and having him fumble at horrific times as well. Don't get me wrong. I do seem to recall that game against Detroit, I can recall specifically. Let's start with the NBA Finals, though. Game number 3 last night, and Kelly, I don't know about you, but after being fully locked in and engaged into the postseason, because I was on the Heat Magic carpet ride through the Eastern Conference, I got off the Magic carpet ride and said, well, they're going to meet their kryptonite in the Denver Nuggets. And the Heat did have that amazing resiliency in Game 2, where they came back from not only a 15-point deficit, but then an 8-point deficit heading into the fourth quarter. Well, last night, the Earth returned to its axis, at least the conventional wisdom. Nuggets 109, Heat 94. For those of you who were on the on the under with me, easy peasy, beautiful cover girl.
Yep. What
was that commercial? Easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. Easy peasy. And by the way, it got to, 203 points because it almost turned into like a college basketball foul fest at the end. Like, I was worried for a minute. I'm like, are we still fouling Miami Heat? That whole ending was weird. Spo taking out players just a tad too early. The Nuggets leaving in players. Get that 10th rebound, Jamal Murray. Get that 10th rebound. And he got the 10th rebound for a triple-double.
I'm going to go – can I go a little crazier on both those?
Please.
I feel like maybe Maybe I'm overreacting a little bit. I probably am, but whatever. I thought it was kind of coaching malpractice on both sides at the end of that game last night. I mean, Spo pulled starters, and then they closed it to what, 10?
Nine. Yeah, and had the ball down nine.
Had the ball down nine? Like, you're in the NBA Finals, yeah. Man. Like, what are you doing? And then I know it's a very fine line that I'm crossing here, but then on the other side, what the hell is Jamal Murray doing in there at the final seconds? We're padding stats in an NBA Finals game.
I believe we were.
Just to get to a triple-double. Like, we needed to do that bad so we could lead SportsCenter with that sentence.
I don't know if that was contrary to anything I said. I agree with you completely. Like, I think it was just odd. Everything around that was odd. Because they were, well, we'll go through it. It's real quick. It's you know, first of all, let me just say this again also. The commonality of all three games. Does ABC's wide shot appear to you to be unsharp, uncrisp screen?
Yeah, we talked about it. Game two is the worst, but I felt that way.
It's not clear. In the era of HD and everything being picture perfect, as soon as they get a close-up, it's picture perfect. But the wide shot, I'm like, is my TV, something's wrong with my TV? And no one seems to address this.
I don't really get it. You texted me that on game one, and I was like, I wasn't really looking at it that hard, but it does look a little fuzzy. Then game two, as soon as I turned it on, I texted you, I was like, dude, this is ridiculous.
Last night, same thing. First half, really, no one had a lead. I mean, the headline was nobody had a lead more than 5 points on either side. Biggest lead of the quarter for either team in the first quarter was Miami at 5-0, 7-2, and 9-4. Denver took its first lead at 16-14 with 5:08 left in the first. Miami had gone from the 749 mark of the quarter to the 220 mark without hitting a field goal, but the quarter ended up tied at 24 apiece. Second quarter, biggest lead was also 5, this time in favor of Denver, 29-24, 51-46, and 53-48, which was the score at the half. And at the half, Murray had 20 on 8 of 13 shooting, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, and Jokic was well on his way to a triple-double at 14-12-7. Butler had 14, Bam 13-10. But the rebounding advantage was the first thing of note, where Denver was up at the half, 28-21 in boards. Third quarter, Nuggets immediately take the biggest lead of the game. They score the first six of the half. They go up 11. Then they lead by as many as 19. It's 14, a 14-point lead at the end of the quarter. The Heat in the third quarter, Jimmy Buckets was 5 of 6 for 12. The rest of the team was 3 of 14 for 8 points. Is that good? Fourth quarter, then, the Nuggets led by as many as 21. 93-72 with 8:28 left. By the way, with exactly 5 minutes left, Jokic had 40 minutes, 30 points, 20 boards, 10 assists. And then, as we talked about just moments ago, the Heat weirdly got it down to 9 with 1:19 left in the ball, but Bam missed the jumper, and that was all she wrote. Nuggets win by 15, 109-94. Everything about that end was weird. As we said, Spo pulling players early, Murray and Gordon staying in, the lead going from 21-9, almost turning into a college basketball game. Jokic ends up 32-21-10, Murray 34-10-10, because they padded the stat with that last rebound. They are the first two teammates to have triple-doubles in an NBA Finals game. And they were, well, besides Murray's rebound, they weren't cheap. In the case of Jokic, it's a 30-20-10 one, and in the case of Murray, 34-10-10. 84 of the Nuggets' 109 points were scored or assisted by Jokic and Murray. How about that?
Yeah.
84 of 109. Butler ends up with 28 in defeat. Bam, 22-17. And here's the statistical anomaly, because we had one of these in the last round as well. Denver only made 5 3-pointers. They were 5 of 18. The Heat were 11 of 35. They made more, but they didn't go off. Only 31.4% for the Heat. And the Nuggets had 9 more turnovers than the Heat. 13-4. So how'd they win this? How about a 58-33 rebounding advantage? And overall, talking twos and threes, they shot 51.3% from the field, 41 of 80. And from two-point range, 58.1%, 36 of 62. And so the question becomes now, with a Nuggets resting home court back, home court advantage back in this best of seven series, Nuggets up 2-1. Will we now look back on this, Kelly, whenever this is done, 5 games, 6 games, or 7 games? Well, first of all, the first question is, can you see this being done in 5? Because I can.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I expect it, though.
I don't know if I expect it, but there is a scenario where we look back on this and we're like, oh, the Heat had that just one run in game two, or a couple runs in game two where the Nuggets sort of fell asleep and played horrible defense. There is that possibility.
Yeah, but they got to – I mean, this is – Jimmy Butler, if you look at 28 points, like he led the way for the Heat last night – We've talked about it since the series began. You know, how banged up is he truly injury-wise? Don't really know. He's got to be more aggressive, more effective. We saw him at the beginning of the game being really aggressive, trying to get to the rim and stuff. This is – Denver's shutting that down, though, throughout this entire series. The three games so far, the third – all three of them are in their – three of the five least scored rim points of the playoffs for the Miami Heat. So that's a major issue. You're only getting 22.7 rim points per game in this series compared to 34.6 against Boston, 32.3 against the Knicks, and 36.8 against Milwaukee. So even without, you know, someone like a Brook Lopez standing down low, you're not scoring at the paint. In the paint, a lot of that is Jimmy Butler not being able to do what he's done in series past.
It gets back to our analysis before the whole series started. I know we had the Will Hill, I can't stand their faces analysis yesterday.
They're too tall.
Before the series, we said, they're too tall. It's a very simple sport, this baloncesto. Really. Just put the ball in the bucket, and if you're taller than the other team, usually it works out. This just feels like that. And again, if the Heat can make this competitive beyond this, again, all the power to them. It's just magic what they're doing from behind the arc. And that's kind of the only way, right?
Yes.
That was one of the questions after game 2. I said, did that game tell you that this is going to be competitive, or did it tell you that the Heat have to be that perfect for them to win by the thinnest of margins?
They got to make those threes. Now they got to stop this pick and roll. 32 pick and rolls from Murray and Jokic last night, most of the season for them.
Again, mazel tov to everybody who had the under. That was the play. That under for game 4, down to 210.5 now. We'll talk about that as that game approaches. Coming back with Ben Wilson on college baseball.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds, and then you stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Won't take you but a few minutes, and then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Speaking of BetMGM properties, Kelly, I was up at the Aria last night. KG and Paul Pierce were up there.
I had so many more questions for you. You didn't answer my text thoroughly enough.
What was your
question? Were they there for, like, work?
Yes, they had some. They were doing some live stream of some kind. Their energy is poor, though.
Like, you don't understand. When you first texted me that, I was halfway out my chair where I'm like, let me, keys, wallet, phone, where you at? I'm going to go meet up Gil in a sec. What are these guys doing? Oh, no, they're working. Okay, never mind.
I was much more interested in the guy from, what's that show? Impractical Jokers, or what is that show? He was there, too. I was like, oh, that dude's here. Cool.
I have one of my good friends who works on that show.
Oh, really?
Writer for that show, yep.
Yeah. That's the show that comes on when our sporting event just remains on our TV.
No. Whoa. You got to be really particular. It's a really specific sporting event. It's during March Madness.
Once
you found True TV, the annual tradition of finding True TV. And then when you wake up the next morning and you're like, what the heck is on my TV right now? Oh, it's True TV from last night. It's Impractical Jokers.
Yeah. This Mukova Sabalenka match in the first set, like I said, Mukova had a match point. It was staved off by Sabalenka. Then she was up a mini break in the tiebreaker. It is now in the tiebreaker in the first set, 5-5 right now, 6-5 Mukova. So it's on serve. So it's a match point again for Mukova, but on Sabalenka's serve. And I have Mukova plus 4.5 and the over 20.5 in this match. So this is this weird point in a tennis match. And, of course, I have the futures on Iga. So the question is, for my plus 4.5, I'd actually rather have Mukova lose this set, if that makes sense, because then there's less time for the plus 4.5 or less match for the plus 4.5 not to manifest. But for my Iga futures, I would like Mukova to win this set. So it's one of these, if you're betting tennis, conflicting desires right now. We'll see how it pans out. Either way, the two bets on this match looking pretty good so far. Ben Wilson joins us. Our own Ben Wilson, who once again is not only a VEASAN host, but will be the most famous VEASAN person ever to come out of here, besides, you know, the non-Brent Musburger division. How you doing, Ben?
We're good. I do need to correct Kelly on one thing, though, because I did have in my home office, I had TBS on the other night, little Mets-Braves action. rain delay. What happens? All of a sudden, I'm doing other stuff. I look up, Impractical Jokers is on.
Impractical Jokers. Yeah.
Boom! There you go.
Also, were you near Carbone, Gil, just like when we were there and Mark Jackson was seated
Mark Jackson was next to us. Yeah.
That's always my aria recollection.
There's always someone. There's always someone walking through there, for sure. But I'll tell you this. By the way, Mukova wins the first set tiebreaker and wins the first set. 7-6, she wins the tiebreaker 7-5, so we have drama at Roland Garros.
Wow.
Okay. So let's start with, before we get to college baseball, where are you and what are you doing now? Because you have multiple jobs. Where are you and in what capacity?
So right now I'm prepared to fly to the capital of quality of air in the entire world. That is the Northeast United States of America. So we're about to go right into the eye of the proverbial storm. Arena football is right now the main thing, Gil. So I'm flying to the Northeast. Game in at the DCU Center in Worcester, Massachusetts this weekend. So
Worcester.
Headed out to the airport in about 10 minutes.
Worcester. Remember, Ben, it's pronounced Worcester. Okay. I love that you're always doing these things, but you've got your eyes on not only the French Open, you've got them on college baseball as well, where we are about to begin the Super Regionals. We're down to the final 16. Super Regionals, which is a best of three. And I see series prices for all of these except for the Bama one, just sort of glancing around in general. Do you have any thoughts on either a series price or on a game one price, either tomorrow or the next day?
Yeah, I do. So the series that I have already bet, and right now, at least at Nevada-wise, at Caesars is throwing these series prices up. Circa has them as well, which is the same as the regional. So at least for Nevada bettors, you have a couple outs. I haven't seen them super widely available rest of the country, but Oral Roberts open plus 155. I bet them plus 145, so I like them in that series against Oregon, and it's a team that wins the regional as a four seed. That was a Stillwater regional I didn't want anything to do with because I really like three of the teams there, so I just stayed away. They beat Oklahoma State, Washington, Dallas Baptist. They won three games that were all really tight, but they have the highest batting average among all NCAA tournament teams in the field. They've won 21 straight games.
Jeez.
This is baseball. This is baseball, remember? They've won 21 straight games. They're 39-3 in their last 42.
Is that good?
They have a center fielder, Jonah Cox, who has a 44-game hitting streak. They probably have the best closer in the country in Cade Denton, who saved all three of their games in the regionals. He's 96 with a fastball, nasty slider, unfair at the college level. I think 160 ERA now for the season. So it's a team that doesn't get respect because of the lack of strength of schedule. It's why I didn't bet him in the regionals, but against a really deep quality of competition they just faced, and they looked the part. I mean, they passed the eye test. Everything they did was solid. And so a team that has elite defense, third best fielding percentage in the country, really, really good back end pitching, and they have multiple guys with a lot of pop in the bats. I do like them against an Oregon team that is basically all hitting. They have a 300 team average, seven of their nine guys over 300. They mashed their way to that Nashville regional. I'm still kind of stunned that Vanderbilt went down as meekly as they did in that regional, but Oregon's struggles have been on the pitching side. They've allowed it was tied for ninth as far as total homers allowed out of 11 teams in the Pac-12 this year. So I will go with the plus money there on the road. Give me Oral Roberts.
That's in the series we're talking about, correct? Just to clarify?
Series, yes.
Series price. Correct. So yep, I'm saying, like plus 140-ish I'm seeing available. Right, shop around for all these for sure on Oral Roberts. What futures do you still have going, by the way?
We lost on Vanderbilt, so RIP, 25-1 ticket to Vandy. The TCU, and that was my biggest position, made that bet way back in February, 40-1 to win a couple large there. So at TCU, I'm not going to hedge this week. So my first, I would say like a pseudo hedge, I did believe Arkansas would come out of that regional. So I went 0-2 on the regional bet since I did have Arkansas plus money. But if Arkansas was going to go down, I was really hoping it would be to TCU. And that team, I mean, they had one guy, Trey Richardson, it's two grand slams in one of those games. They put up 20 runs on Arkansas. TCU is about a $2 favorite against Indiana State. And that was the controversial super regional site because Indiana State could not host, even though they're the higher seed. And that this usually happens once a year. Ago.
Politics.
There.
Politics.
Mm-hmm. And now TCU gets to host. So I believe they will advance. And I'm going to be waiting to find a different way to kind of monetize that ticket. I think the team that I'm eyeing that I'm not going to bet series price because I believe the price is a little too high is Tennessee. They're a $1.65 favorite over Southern Miss to win that series. I'm going to look to play them likely in game two as well as a game three if we get there. because they're taking on Southern Miss, who will likely start Tanner Hall, one of the best pitchers in college baseball, 12-3, sub 250 record, 250 ERA. And so I wouldn't, and that's the lowest total on the board, 9.5 for game one, Tennessee and Southern Miss. Would not be surprised if Southern Miss wins that game one. I like Tennessee to win the series. So that's one where I'm just going to be monitoring it this weekend. I want to get in on the Vols. They were 4-12 away from Knoxville in the regular season. So I just didn't have the confidence to bet them in the regional. And then they win that epic 14-inning game over Clemson. And it was kind of like, okay, this might be one of those wins that could have gone either way, games that could have gone either way. We look back and say, this was a catalyst towards a College World Series run. So Tennessee is the team. I would not blame anybody for wanting to add them right now. They have their three weekend starting pitchers have a 3.75 combined ERA, which is really, really good for college baseball.
And Ben's sort of individual game record, by the way, on this show, betting college baseball, is something ridiculous. What would you estimate it is, going back to last year?
Yeah, so, I mean, officially it's 8-1, but and that was just single games. I mean, remember last year we went 3-0 in regionals and I believe 2-0 in super regionals, yeah. Which were, you know, and unfortunately those were bets I couldn't make here because at the time we didn't have prices, but 6-1 single game last year and we're 2-0 so far in that this year.
All right, we got 90 seconds. We don't even have, we have 60 seconds. Djokovic, Carlitos, tomorrow, what you got?
Benny and the Pets.
Benny. I'm stunned. I asked a couple of my close tennis friends over the weekend, and I wanted to save it for now, Gil, to ask you what they would have made the Alcaraz Djokovic price. Our consensus was Alcaraz, $1.25, $1.30, and slight favorite. But this is out of hand.
It is
a $2 favorite.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And this is a 22-time Grand Slam champion, Novak Djokovic, who has only been an underdog against a non-Big Three player one time in the last decade. It was Daniil Medvedev in the 2021 Aussie Open final. He won in straight sets. It's apples and oranges comparing that to this. But at the very least, Gil, this is going to be an epic back-and-forth match. You will get opportunities, I believe, to get Alcaraz at a plus-money price. So I'm going to go in, get Djokovic plus 172. I also threw a sprinkle plus 214 to win the tournament because if he wins this match, he'll be an overwhelming favorite in the final. I don't know what you would make the price go, but Alcaraz at $2 is just insane.
It is. I have Carlitos winning the tournament. So obviously that means he's winning. You know, I have him winning this match, but I was like minus 170-ish, somewhere in there. Even I, the highest I could go was that. So I'm with you, generally speaking, on that. Ben, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy. Safe travels.
Will do, Gil. Thank you.
Ben Wilson at Ben_Wilson_1 on Twitter. Jay Kahn, Stanley Cup Final Game 3 next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription for a limited time. Sign up for just $9.99 to get full access to everything we do, including daily pro picks on all the summer action, including NFL and college football futures, premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting split showing you where the public at Sharp Money is going to give you an edge. Don't miss out on our lowest intro price of the year. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. It's Gil Alexander. This show has the best listeners on God's green earth. I will defend that position to the death. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Everybody with answers here, Kelly. Marv B. Starry replaced Sierra Mist, which is Pepsi's version of Sprite, which was made by Coca-Cola. Yes, our research found that. Also, that Pepsi guy chiming in, Starry, is a Pepsi product. It replaced Sierra Mist. We got that far. What I am referring to, and this is going to be a special VSiN plus expose, is the way that Starry and the history of lemon-lime sodas are marketed. It's for another time and place. Stringfellow Hawk talking about the ABC picture, the wide shot of the game, and how I feel I've said from the beginning of this series how it's not crisp to the eye. He said ESPN and ABC still broadcast in 720 resolution as opposed to 1080 and 4K 2160. That's TV talk is what that is.
Yeah. Step it up, network television. Jeez.
And then Paul M. says, just making sure I haven't missed the CFL season preview segment. Stamps hosting the Lions this evening.
Ooh.
Tune in
don't
or lose
bet
out.
Against Calgary.
Yeah. Kelly used to bet college Canadian football all the time, right?
Man, I bet a ton of CFL back in the day, yep.
And by back in the day, what do you mean? The pandemic?
Like 5 years ago. Pandemic ruined it, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Personally. We've got a lot of other football leagues going on now, too. It spreads out some of the talent.
By the way, Ben Wilson, and by the way, sexy graphic. Shout out to all the people downstairs. Mm-hmm. The graphics department put out the Benny and the Bets graphic.
Shell and Ryan putting that together. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Tribute to Ben Wilson. Benny and the Bets. There it is. We can show it one more time. Look at Ben bedazzled.
Yeah, I actually took this picture of him at last Saturday night we were hanging out.
Yeah, he actually wore that. That's actually nuts. It's not Photoshop. It's actually what
Tony rolls on the strip.
But one of the things he mentioned was, you know, that he was heading into the Northeast. And so we just want to send a shout out to all the folks who are living in areas where the air quality is not good. For those of us who lived in Northern California or who live in Northern California, this is something that happens, sadly, relatively frequently with fires in Northern California. And there's some days in San Francisco where you will wake up and it's like a sci-fi movie. Like the sky is just off and the air quality is terrible. So we feel your pain. So everybody pay heed. Everybody take care of themselves, not to hang out outside and make it as, you know, maximize the chances of it actually having an adverse effect on you. Jake Hahn is a Canadian, and we blame him singularly for everything that's happening. How you doing, Jake?
That's right. I'll take at least some of the blame, and it has been pretty bad here in Toronto. Not something we're used to, right? I'm used to it in Western Canada. I know they're getting it out east a little bit as well, so we got a bit of that trickle down. I'm coming to you live as well, 30 minutes from Oakdale Golf Course, where they're hosting the RBC Canadian Open. So I had to rep the hat today for you guys, and I appreciate the CFL shout out off the top as well.
Are you heading out to the RBC? Are you going to take in some of it in person or no?
Yes, I try to go every year on the Saturday. So I'll try to get out there on the Saturday, follow the players around, and hopefully get a couple Canadians in contention. I saw Corey Connors is already off to a pretty decent start here today. So yeah, it's always a great crowd. I mean, last year was unbelievable. It was packed. It almost had a bit of a major feel to it out there when you were on the grounds. It really did get Scheffler there and Rory and some of the big names. So a lesser field, I think, this year than we got last year, but still some pretty big names. And I'll have some fun with it this weekend for sure.
You have any bets in this tournament?
I lose my citizenship if I don't take a Canadian. So I had to go with Adam Svensson at 75-1. I think it could be a good long shot week, guys. I did take Mark Hubbard around 125-1. He's been playing some sneaky good golf this week as well. And I'll look to jump in live. I was looking at some of these young guys, Matty Schmid, Ludvig Åberg, I know, is on a lot of people's cards.
Ludvig's two well. Back. He's two back.
He's off to a great start as well. So you got some great young talent, I think, this year at the RBC Canadian Open. Love Justin Rose as well. He's off to a real hot start today. He's also been playing some really good golf this week. But let's go Hubba Hubbard. That's who I'm rooting for.
Okay. Justin Rose right now with a one-stroke lead. He's 5-under through 11. One-stroke lead over Matt Fitzpatrick and the Canadian Corey Connors. Have a little more than halfway through the first round at the RBC Canadian. All right, hockey. Game 3 tonight, we go to Florida. We go to Sunrise for Game 3, where the Panthers have to get off the schneid. They're down 2-0 in this best-of-seven series. The Panthers are slight favorites in this game. The total has increased to 6. By the way, the notion of betting unders here, it just has to just, because my instinct was to go under in Game 2. This thing has just been a goal fest, and you don't have to be a hockey expert to realize that the Golden Knights just domination of the first couple games. I mean, what's the script here, Jake? Like, can you see the Panthers making a series of this?
Well, this is the series tonight, guys. There's no way they're coming back from down 3-0. So if they lose this game, to me, it's basically over. So this is the Panthers season. And I expect them to come out with that kind of intensity. I think they know what's on the line. I do think they'll get some energy from returning home, and they'll have that home crowd trying to bolster them. And look, if they hold serve and they get it 2-2 going back to Vegas, they'll feel pretty good. So they have to start tonight. You know, I tend to agree with a pick'em type line. I did see it, you know, hovering around -120 for the Panthers. I think a little bit of money has come in on Vegas to sort of push it a little bit closer to a pick'em. But I expect Florida to come out. But it's what you said, Gil. I mean, Vegas is clearly the better team here. And, you know, maybe we're reading too much into two home games. It'll look a little bit different on the road. But I have to think the Golden Knights smell blood in the water. Like, this isn't the first round where, you know, maybe you take the foot off of the pedal a little bit. They know this is the Stanley Cup final, and they don't want to let Florida back in this series. So I think they're going to go to South Florida with the thought process of, hey, let's take at least one, bring this 3-1 back to Vegas, and we'll feel great about our chances. Heck, maybe we can just win both, sweep this series, and get it done on the weekend. But I do think that the Golden Knights smell a little bit of blood here.
You don't want any part of Panthers 4-1, do you? Adjusted series price.
I don't. I think it's actually a pretty fair number just for the fact that they haven't actually lost a home game yet, right? So if you liked the Panthers before the series, the reason why I'm not playing it is because I liked Vegas before the series. Yeah. And I think Vegas is going to win. Now, do I think Florida can get back in this and make it a longer series? I do. Maybe Bobrovsky starts to get back to the form that he showed through the first few rounds, and, you know, they start to get that timely scoring. They got to stay out of the penalty box too. Like, you talk about how high scoring these games have been. a lot of it has been because they've been so undisciplined and they continue to take penalties. If they can keep it even strength, I think they had a better chance to win. So if you liked the Panthers before the series started, then yes, I think that's a fair number that you can jump on. I'm going to stay away just because I've got my Vegas bets in already.
Yeah. I mean, do you think to yourself, like, how did Boston, Toronto, and Carolina let this team beat them? Or is the simple answer, yeah, Bobrovsky? That's the answer.
That is basically the answer. I think there is a little bit more to it, but he's like 90% of it. It really feels like I talked to you guys basically every time I came on. I mentioned the stat of how many one goal games the Panthers had played. It got to, I believe, 13 or 14 in a row, and it ended in game two. It actually stayed true in game one as it was 2-2 going into the third period. Obviously Vegas just killed them in game number two, but you know, this is how the Panthers were living. They were kind of walking that tightrope, these dangerous one-goal hockey games. They all seem to go their way. And yeah, I think teams like Boston, Toronto are kind of watching this going, man, this could have been us if we didn't hit that post, or it didn't hit the knob of Bobrovsky's stick, or, you know, maybe we got a call here or a call there. This could be us facing the Golden Knights. But I think Vegas has been a splash of cold water in the face for the Panthers. I think this is something different that they just haven't faced throughout the course of the playoffs so far, and I continue to be so impressed by what I'm seeing from this Golden Knights team. This is not the team that I saw in the regular season. They've certainly taken it to another level.
All right, so let's do some rapid fire. So you're on Vegas before the series, so therefore no bet for you in game three?
I do want to take the Vegas Golden Knights, but like you said, I've got the Vegas Golden Knights series bet, so it doesn't make a ton of sense to jump back in at minus 105. But if I didn't have the bet and I was strictly just betting this game, I think as a slight dog, I would lean still towards the Vegas Golden Knights. It goes back to what I said about sort of smelling blood in the water. I think I just don't see the Panthers dominating them. So if the Panthers win, I think it's going to be a close game. And I don't know how much I want to rush to bet the Panthers if I feel like it's going to be a one-goal game in the third period. And, you know, banking on Bobrovsky, who did look a little bit shaky in the last game. So yeah, if I had no series bet on this, guys, I would be going to Vegas at minus 105. Maybe you could find an even money bet out there as well.
Where's the bet for Conn Smythe now? Marchessault is minus 105. Jack Eichel's plus 425. Aiden Hill is 5-1. Kachuk and Bobrovsky sitting there at the low double digits if the Panthers were to come back.
I think it's probably Jack Eichel, to be completely honest. Like, we're kind of narrowing down the board now, right? When we started the series, it felt like there was five or six candidates for the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, Marchessault has just been unbelievable, and he's gathering a lot of steam, it feels like, amongst the media. And Aiden Hill's obviously played well through a couple games. If he throws in a shutout, maybe he's got a chance. But it does feel like we're narrowing it down to three guys for Vegas. I still like Eichel. Like, he's basically at his pre-series odds. He was around 4-1 before the series started. You're getting the same price. I think he continues to play good hockey. So it's going to come down to what the voters think. But plus 425 for Jack Eichel still looks pretty good to me.
All right. And then 30 seconds real quick. If someone were to say to you, all right, I want to bet a team to win the Stanley Cup next year, I want good value, what's the team?
Ooh, this is a tough question. I still really do like the Edmonton Oilers to win one. I don't think you're going to get the best odds, but I just feel like Connor McDavid's eventually going to get his. So I would look there. I also really like the LA Kings, the team that's actually lost to Edmonton the last two times in the first round. I think the Kings are ready to take that step next year, guys. So they're a team I'll be looking to bet next year.
Oilers 10-1, Kings 25-1, respectively. Always shop around. Jake, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy game three. Should be fun.
Yeah, always great talking to you guys. I'll talk to you again soon. Have an awesome day.
Jay Kahn taking the burden and the responsibility of Canada on his two shoulders.
That's right.
It's very good of him. Coming back, Paul Sporer on baseball next. Looking forward to this.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up the skates with a Stanley Cup parlay insurance offer. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Stanley Cup final game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $50. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today to get started. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. 21 and over to wager. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Call 877-H-H-O-P-E-N-Y or text H-O-P-E-N-Y. That's Hope, New York, 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Kansas and Nevada, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Not only do we get tweets, we get texts, Kelly. Are you aware of that? Do we also get texts on this very fine show? And random soccer texts from multiple people. Tim Lawson pointing out that after Lionel Messi, in case you missed the big global soccer news yesterday, Lionel Messi is playing for Inter Miami. Turned down like $1.6 billion. That's with a B. In Saudi Arabia, something like that?
Things you wouldn't do for $1.6 billion.
Kelly, when you get to the point where you're turning down $1.6 billion, you let me know.
Life is good.
Life is good. He says he wants to experience football, soccer, as we call it, in a different way. In a more relaxed, non-pressure way is how I interpreted that. I think how everybody interpreted that.
Yeah, it sounds like fine dining and living in Miami and maybe occasionally play a soccer game.
Well, Tim Lawson saying that Inter Miami went from 200-1 to as low as 18-1 after yesterday's news.
I was trying to shop those around to see if I could find a hanger, but no, there wasn't anything. They adjusted pretty quickly.
And Isaac Meyer, part of the Mishpucha, he texts in, he goes, hey, I don't know if sportsbooks in the U.S. are putting the under 20 World Cup qualifying games up, but if they are, I'm compelled to say that Israel at +420 is a great value bet. I also lean under, but the bet is Israel to win against Uruguay at +420. The Israeli under 20 team, by the way, Kelly, took down Brazil's under 20 team the other day.
Really?
Avinu.
Wow.
Shalom Aleichem, baby. Let's go.
Wow.
Sorry, that was for a certain portion of the audience. Paul Sporer joins us, everybody. He's not in that portion of the audience, but we love him still. From Austin, Texas. Talking a little baseball, fan graphs, and beyond. How you doing, Paulie? Oh, I love he's wearing the Cincinnati Reds. I love it.
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I would assume, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong, this is in tribute to my God of the Cross, otherwise translated to Ellie De La Cruz, who yesterday...
You better believe it.
Yesterday, while he did strike out two times, he debuted with a walk and then a, depending on what your tape measure said, either a 459 or 464. I mean, really, when you get to that point, what does it really matter? Foot ding dong into right field, and then a triple where he got to third quicker than anybody else has. In the league this year or in Reds history, I can't even remember what it was, but it was just setting records in terms of the speed. He's down to as low, like I looked at DraftKings. So the man has had single-digit at-bats, Paul. I got him at 30-1 last week. He's +350.
That's insane.
What are we doing?
That's insane. I mean, that's truly insane. You're 30-1. I can get behind something like that. You know, a guy can come up in June and win the Rookie of the Year. Ellie De La Cruz is amazing. The comp is easy to go to O'Neill Cruz. You know, switch hitting O'Neill Cruz. I understand sometimes the easy comps are feel lazy because it's like, oh well, that's just obvious. But it's right. It's right. Everything we talked about O'Neill Cruz, the excitement that we had for his power speed combo is the same thing here with Ellie De La Cruz, except yeah, he is a switch hitter. He's unbelievable, but it also brings the potential downsides. And just to put a little bit of a, not a wet blanket, a damp blanket on part of the blanket, those strikeouts can be a lot. He has a lot of swing and miss to his game. Mm-hmm. We saw it yesterday with the two strikeouts that he did have around all the amazing excitement. This Reds lineup, though, is really, really exciting. Then you've got Andrew Abbott pairing up with Hunter Green. If you can get Lodolo back, I really wish that Graham Ashcraft breakthrough had happened. I mean, it looked good in spring. He showed some things last year, but he's just been a nightmare. They don't have enough pitching right now to make a ton of noise overall, but they have enough hitting to be really dangerous, and you're going to have to be very careful sending your pitchers into Cincinnati or really taking them on the road, too, because this lineup runs deep now, at least six or seven, and that's even without them at full strength just yet.
Is for people who yesterday were not beyond the Ellie De La Cruz part, there were some people who were like, is it crazy to bet the Reds to win this division? And they were, you know, the prices were anywhere between like 16-1 to 25-1, shop around, of course. What would you say to them?
I don't hate it. I really do like this Reds squad. I don't think they probably have enough horses to get it done on the mound. That's my biggest issue, and their bullpen isn't very good outside of Diaz and a couple others contributing here and there. And it's hard to really slug your way all the way to a division title. But I don't hate it as a you know, long shot toss, quarter unit, half unit type of move there, because it is such an exhilarating and exciting offense. If they call up some more pitching, that kind of goes with everything that's going on. Lodolo's timetable, I think, is still a while out. I'd feel a lot more happy with something if you had the Green, Abbott, Lodolo trio atop that rotation. You can build a bullpen on the fly. I also worry a bit about the ownership. Are they going to put in the effort? Are they going to maybe loosen the purse strings a little bit? Maybe they could make an acquisition or two. You know, I think a veteran reliever or two, not even huge guys. I'm not talking about going out and getting the biggest out there, but just some small pickups to supplement things. That could be pretty good for the Reds. I still don't agree with them tearing it down after they were competing in 2020. They gave it the COVID year and then gave up. But again, I hate that ownership group. This team's exciting, though, and they haven't even called up all the guys. Nuelve Marte's still down there. Edwin Arroyo is years away. Cam Collier's a few years away. Chase Petty, Lyon Richardson. They've got more pieces coming. This is a remarkably exciting unit that might not be a force this year, but should be in the future if they continue to develop like this.
The other thing I've batted around this week, but not with you yet, is some of us ended up betting Luis Arraez at 80-1 to win the National League MVP. The thinking being, it's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But if, and I do mean if, and he's a long way from doing this, but yesterday went 2-for-4 again. He's hitting .403. If he hits 400, let's ask it this way. Does he win MVP automatically?
I can't say automatically because if somebody pops 60 bombs on a first place team or something like that, but it's going to be really, really high. And having him at 80-1 with that potential for Luis Arraez, I get it, right? Like, you're not taking a huge risk there. I doubt you put major money on it either. So you're going on a smaller unit. Long shot here that has some real basis in reality, because while it is very unlikely that he hits 400, if he does, Luis Arraez is going to be foremost in the MVP conversation, especially if no one really rises up and hits, 60 plus or goes crazy on a winning team, which, by the way, I don't agree with the winning team thing, but the electric can. And I say can because it rotates, right? The BBWA writers are separated amongst the different votes year in, year out. You can vote for rookie of the year 1 year, manager of the year the next. So if it gets the right electorate or the wrong, depending on what your view is, you can get the right guys that maybe don't get so focused on team context because it shouldn't for an individual reward. But if you get a bunch of old heads, they might say, oh, Arraez is on a team that isn't that good. It also depends on where the Marlins are, right? Yep. I don't want to shade them. Right now, they're playing well. Do we believe that they can stay in contention? That would certainly help Arraez's case, even though it shouldn't. It should be independent of that. But yeah, I like it. 80-1. Why not? Why not? I'd still probably take it at like 50, 60. I don't know if it's moving down right now because he is over 400.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably still be interested in that. That's a long enough shot that you're putting a smaller bet on it. And it's such an exciting profile, like what he's doing. It really is a lot of fun. And that park in Miami, a lot of open space to dump those singles and doubles into.
Now I'm being told as low as 30-1, by the way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I start to balk there. But
I do
50
too.
Plus, yeah. I would take it. And of course, the 80 that you did is an easy shot to just at least have in your back pocket.
Yeah. 3-day tracker at DraftKings 80, 50, 30 is what those odds have moved from.
Yeah. If it goes two for four tonight, or if Ellie De La Cruz, by the way, he hit a homer last night. It was 8-1. By the time you walked up the hill before the triple, it was plus 650.
So his 3-day track at DraftKings 25-8 and then plus 350.
Plus 350
now. Crazy. That's so wild.
It's amazing, man. DFS to take us out. What do you got today?
As far as like looking at the mound, there's a lot of great starters today. So I'm definitely trying to jump in on that. You know, Framber Valdez might seem like a fade for people at Toronto, but they're actually not hitting lefties very well. He's been amazing. The velo's up. The walks are down. Might pair him with somebody like a Reed Detmers. I really don't believe in this 5-something ERA that Reed Detmers has over the last several games. He's got like a 290 FIP to go with it. The skills are still there. I think you can trust him. Obviously, you got a game in Coors. So if you go from and Detmers, you might not be able to afford as much to get into Coors, but I think you can still get some.
Paul Spohr, everybody, at FanGraphs. You can follow him on Twitter at Spohr. Paul, always great to see you, man. Enjoy.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
Paulie, always with the baseball hats that are on theme, on topic for the day as well. He does a great job with that. We'll come back unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Where in the world is he? That is next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.